Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Tackle Shop Live.
I met you on a sunny day. Right there, you took my breath away. Young and pretty, you was.
What's up, Mr. Richardson? Chris Benninger's in the house.
The
Larry Shope.
You called me up. You
Scott Lockoff, how are you, buddy? Carlisle, how are you doing, pal? James Hook's here.
Well, I
Joseph Cascavino, how you doing, buddy? Galen Heathcote, what's up, Galen? Jimmy Arnold, yo, brother. Jason Stutzman. Mike Hayer's here. Johnny Kopp. Mr. Kopp, how are you? Grimy Fishing. Danny Poust. Yeah, man. Sam and Sam, let's go. Absolutely. Got a great show for you today. I can't wait for this show. Fishing wake baits. We got some great information for you on that. Man, I was out fishing today. Took the morning off work. Got out and slayed a couple smallies. That was a fun time. Gotta tell you, Nick, I had a ball. Scott Mayer's here. How you doing, James Hook? Yo, man. Conway, what do you say, buddy? Yeah, I was out. Got up early this morning. Went out fishing for a little bit and caught some smallmouth. Saw some big largies. Couldn't get them to bite. They were cruising, so they're getting ready to spawn down where I was fishing. Smallies were eating, chewing pretty good. Yeah,
that's always good, Mike.
Yeah, it was fun.
And so George was holding down the fort for you.
Holding down the fort.
Well, I had reinforcements.
We got.
I had Skeeter Steve.
Yeah.
I had Mike. I had Caitlin.
We have a new guy working here now. Great guy, Mike Reinhold. If you guys, he gets on here quite a bit. Long time customer in the shop, and he retired a few months ago, and he already got tired of being retired. So he works a couple days a week, you know, keep him busy. And
it's our number one recruitment source for employees.
Yeah.
All you guys that retire and think you're going to enjoy life, it turns out you want to come back to work.
Well, they want to come to a tackle shop and work.
That's right.
That's what they want to do. So.
And Mike, we got a spot for him.
We welcome Mike Reinhold to the group here, and of course,
glad to have him too.
He's a great guy and knows a lot about fishing and fishes kayaks. Big into kayak fishing. Has a tournament trail that he runs. I think Keystone Kayak or something like that.
I don't know. I can't keep the name straight.
Yeah, I keep getting messed up, but he does a great job with that and has a real good following doing that. So that's pretty cool to see to have Mike here working and I get to pick his brain now about how he catches all them giants, because he does catch them, I'm telling you right now.
Uh-huh.
So, my name is Mike Acord. This is George Acord. And behind the camera is cameraman Nick. And we bring you Tackle Shop Live every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And we love talking fishing. We love talking tackle. And we love talking tournaments. And that's what you're going to get when you watch the show. Now, you guys... that we are one full week into a little over a week, actually going on 2 weeks into our sign up for the greatest tournament on the Upper Bay and in this area. And that is the SummerSlam tournament by Susquehanna Fish and Tackle.
I think you're underselling it.
It's the greatest tournament.
It's the greatest buddy tournament on planet Earth.
Yeah. It's a great, great buddy tournament. And that is in full swing. We're getting lots and lots and lots of guys signing up. Because it is a great opportunity for you guys, especially if you haven't fished tournaments before. This is a tournament where everybody wins, and we are really proud to bring it to you. The entry fee is $250 per boat of G. Loomis, Jackal, Power Pro, and Shimano. Those four products, lines, companies... You buy $250, mix and match, whatever you want, for the boat. Now, if you have a partner, you can split it up, and that is your entry fee. So, in essence, if you go down there and fish at tournaments and you don't have a good day, because we all, you know, Nick, There's days. We have bad days.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, some of us have more than others, but I might fall in that category. But guess what? We all win. We get to keep our tackle, and that's our winnings for the day as our tackle, if you want to look at it that way. And so we like to get new guys involved with tournament fishing. We want you to see what it's the excitement's all about. You guys watch it on TV. You always wondered what it would be like. This is the tournament to do it. We take everybody. Everybody can come. You got high school teams. You want to come fish? No problem. We'll sign you up. And you can bring your captain along. We'll sign you up, and you guys can fish that way. Whatever it takes, we want everybody to fish a tournament. And if you never fished one before, this is the one to do it. You can go out, enjoy yourself, and win your tackle back.
And you know what, Mike? There's a couple ways, too. If you know somebody that's out there right now, and we all know somebody, it's like, hey, I need a new rod. I need a new reel. Right there's your in.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's go to Susquehanna Fishing Tackle. Let's get in.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
It is that simple. Guys are doing it, man, every day. Guys are coming in, buying reels and rods and Jackal and Shimano lures left and right. Now, one of the other things we have going on is a little bonus side pot, if you want to call it. And if you come in and you buy, make a purchase of a Shimano lure. Now, the Macbeth series is included with that. The swim baits are in that. Or anything we carry that is Shimano lure-wise. If you come in and buy one of those lures, that puts you in a side pot. And if you win the tournament and you can show a receipt that you bought one of those lures and have one of those lures, you're going to get a tackle bag packed full of Macbeth, Shimano lures, all kinds of topwaters and crankbaits and swim baits, you name it, it's going to be in there. It is a unbelievable value, and all for just trying the Shimano products. So come on in, make your Shimano lure purchase, get that bonus in the bag, and if somebody doesn't win a tournament that didn't buy a lure, guess what we're going to do? We're going to raffle it off.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, we're going to raffle the bag off. So, but we really want you guys to try them. If you can't get in, we're going to have some lures at this tournament. We're going to have a opportunity to purchase some lures at the blast off in the morning. So you guys will be able to come down to the launch site, purchase a couple lures, and there you go.
And Mike, so this Chad Kirshner says, can I captain the boat while my twin 16-year-old boys fish?
Absolutely.
Get in on it.
Absolutely. Last year, we had some high school kids come, and they asked the same question and had a captain, and you know, absolutely. I mean, we don't see any difference in that than you know, a team, a regular team, and they have team events. So, absolutely, if you guys want to get
The captains aren't fishing.
Yeah, the captains aren't fishing.
They're driving the boat.
Yep, you guys can definitely.
They're not making any fishing decisions. They're not influencing the outcome of the day.
Yep.
They're driving the boat because the kids are too young to drive the boat.
Nobody's going to say anything about it. It's a great thing to have the kids. So absolutely, anybody wants to get involved that way, for sure, you guys can make your purchase and get in. I was yelling at them fish too much today. A little dry in the throat.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Tammy, how are you doing? Chad Kirshner's here. Yep. You can definitely do that, Chad. And Scott Van Leer, how you doing, buddy? Leland Hansford, buddy, how you doing? Good to see you, pal. He was down, got in. Him and his partner were down buying in, so it's great. Michael Bradley. Okay, Nick, what do you got? Anything special?
Oh, there's always something.
You fished a tournament last weekend.
I fished a tournament. I just seen Bridget's on here, and she's going to be fishing SummerSlam. And
Bridget is definitely, yeah.
Well, she fished on Sunday with her dad, and guess what? I got to fish with my dad on Sunday. And
beautiful.
We put them to them.
Yeah.
We had a great time. The Upper Bay is fishing great. That's why if you're thinking about getting into the SummerSlam tournament, just do it. The weights are awesome now, but they're only going to get better.
So how do you feel about it, Nick? I feel like there is a lot to happen down there yet.
Yeah, you hear angler, so like Bridget's on here, and yeah. Us. We've caught so many buck bass in the last 2 weeks, it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
The big ones are going to be there. It's only a matter of time.
So what's building up here for May 19th may be one of the greatest tournaments ever.
Absolutely.
For weight-wise. Because you're going to have post-spawn fish that eat like crazy. You know, you're going to have a topwater bite for those post-spawners. You're going to have a great swim jig bite. You're going to have a chatterbait bite. And then you're going to have that whole another wave of fish kind of moving up there, and you're going to have spawners. So you're going to be able to drag a Senko, drag a creature bait, you know, and fish to bottom for sure. And then you might have some pre-spawners even yet, like on the edge, and you could be able to crank those up.
And what's cool about what you're saying, and I know you guys know this, it really gives anybody the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Because you just don't know what exactly will be the deal that day.
It's a very volatile time to go fishing down there. And the guys who go down there and think they got them figured out, you guess what happens the next day? That whole batch of fish is gone, you know, and over there, a whole nother batch moves up, and those guys just kill them. So it's very anybody. And that's the thing I like about this tournament is out of all the new people that we get every year, I love how many of them surprise themselves with their results. They come down, they fish a tournament for the first time ever. They're nervous as hell. They go out. They're so excited in the morning. They're like a hunting dog, you know. So nervous in the morning. They're ready. They're caged up, man. They're ready to roll. And they go out and they fish and they have such a great time. And they come back and then they're surprised that how good they did against what they thought were these dominating guys, you know. And it is a tournament anybody can win. It's a tournament anybody can place, and we show it every year. We get new blood in there every year, up in the top 10, and it's really exciting to see that. And guess what happens? Those guys keep coming back.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of those new one, you know, top guys that get in one time, this is their first tournament, they're coming back. They're fishing other tournaments. It starts their whole deal because it's so exciting and so much fun. So very, very cool, very big deal. And it's a big tournament. It's a big time tournament. We got a big weigh stage. We got, you know, we got the weigh-in going on. It's so much fun at the weigh-in. We got a tackle toss that we do. We have, door prizes, thousands of dollars worth of door prizes we give away. So one thing you don't want to do is wet track and leave right away because we give away a lot of stuff.
Well, and not only that, Mike, we have live on the water.
Live on the water.
We have live coverage of the whole weigh-in.
Yep.
And then whoever wins, we make famous by coming on the next Tackle Shop Live.
Exactly. We invite you to Tackle Shop Live. The winners come on and give away their winning secrets so that everybody knows, and we get to really pick on you and dig you big time. So it's really cool. George's looking at his watch, so we got to keep moving here. Guess what? Guess what time it is? It is Tackle Talk time. We are Susquehanna Fish and Tackle, one of the biggest tackle boxes around. And guess what we like to do? We like to talk about tackle.
We do.
We love playing with tackle. We love talking tackle. We love it all. So what do you got, George?
Well, I got an interesting mix for you boys tonight. And we're going to talk about some of this stuff as it pertains to some techniques. So first of all, you know, it's prime time swim bait season. You know, we've been throwing the mag draft just crazy. It's just been so productive. A lot of people are throwing similar baits to that style. And that's where we're going to start. Mm. So I got for you a finesse line through swim bait that's, you know, I mean, I want you to think like finesse mag draft when you're thinking about this bait. By no means is it, you know, pigeonholed there, but this is a line through. I have it rigged up here. You'll see the lines coming, you know, your pull points right here, right? That's going to keep that nose down. This thing has a one of these swims. A lot of this. So you get a lot of
tail wag.
You get a lot of that. You get a little of this, right? So we got a lot of this and a little bit of this. Killer swim bait. And it's called the Last Ace. It's from Evergreen. 140. They call it a 140 because it's 140 millimeters. Basically 5.5 inches. 3/4 of an ounce. Number 2 hook. And you can take that bottom point of that hook and you can just kind of tuck it there. Or you can just let this thing free slide like that as you're swimming it. I wouldn't get too worried about what this business end's doing here. It'll find its mark. So it's a very subtle, but yet, you know, in the shallows, it has that drawing power. It's an awesome bait. It's $15.99, very durable. You know, one of the things I was often talked about was, you know, people complaining about the durability of a mag draft. Well, I don't know what you guys are doing with it, but they are extremely durable. And this you can feel the density of the plastic. It's not a fragile plastic, right? So this thing's bad to the bone, man. It's got a number 2 hook on the belly there. Super sharp hook.
What's it called?
It's called a Last Ace.
Made by?
It's made by Evergreen.
Evergreen. Yep. Last Ace. 140.
Yep, it's a Last Ace. Evergreen 140. Killer stuff. Killer stuff.
Yeah.
Killer stuff. Good stuff. We wanted
They had a pretty cool video. We got to see it swimming through the water, so it has a really, really funky profile to it, so it's a little different profile.
Well, I mean, it casts really well.
Yeah.
You know, it casts really well. You know, a slow, steady retrieve. You know, nothing fancy. Just cast it, give it a nice, slow, steady retrieve. You get that perfect swimming action. This is the time of the year where it really excels. You know, you're going to pretty much tie this thing up and leave it tied up because you're going to throw it a lot. So starting off with that tonight, guys.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, Last Ace 140.
I like the size of it. It's more finesse. Very nice size.
Yeah, it's like a finessey swim bait.
Yeah.
So sticking with Evergreen, we are going to go with something that's not so finesse. We're going to go with the Combat Rat. Okay? You know, tonight's show is discussing wake baits and that shallow game. And we have the Combat Rat from Evergreen. It's a wake bait, right? See the lip? So this is prime rat season, prime wake bait season. The rat is a powerful wake bait in the, you know, the spawn season and the early post spawn season. It's killer. And this is a very advanced wake bait. So we have a swiveling hook.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. You'll notice I'm holding the hook and swiveling the bait. So we have eliminated a lot of the leverage that's going to be created by a fish slinging this bait, right? So this is a 5.8 inch bait, which really it's not a giant bait, right? It's 2.3 ounces, so it's a 2 ounce bait. It has a very unique hinge system in it, unlike many of the hinge systems that you'll find in a lot of multi-jointed swim baits. This has a little bit of that screen door squeal to it that we like in our buzz bait. Okay? It's got a stainless steel weight in it for that one knocker. Let's see if we can do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can hear
it's
that.
It's a stainless steel weight. It's a one knocker. Now, you know, this, you know, they're not terribly expensive, but they're a little pricey. They're $54.99. But if you know, if you're in that swim bait world, that's nothing. You're gonna want to fish this on, you know, your heavier tackle. So you're not, it's not like you're going out and losing them.
What colors that come in?
So you have the pink rat, right? You have the chartreuse, big bite chartreuse rat. It's not just the chartreuse rat, it's the big bite chartreuse rat.
Got a little orange on the belly of that, too.
Yeah, it does.
Beautiful.
You got that. You got the matte brown rat. Right?
Right.
You can replace these tails, too, so if you want to change the tail color or if your tail gets ripped off, very easy to do. You have the gray flash rat, kind of a translucent, you know, with a little bit of a flashy insert, a little more subtle. Okay. You have the matte white rat. You got to have that. And, of course, the other color you got to have is the matte black rat.
Yeah.
Got to have that. And then you're going to do this olive gold flash. And, again, a more subtle color.
Has a neat little purple hue to the bottom of it.
So you got the combat rat. For all you swim bait guys, this is the time of the year to throw your rats and other waking swim baits. You know, you got the spawn going on. You got fish up shallow. This thing will draw them out. You'll get some violent strikes on it. You'll catch some big fish on it. And it's big time of the year for rats, right? And there's all kinds of rats. I mean, we're going to talk about the Spro rat a little bit, which comes in like four different sizes. You know, we're going to talk about the bullshad rat. You know, a little bit of that. There's the big Spro rat. But they're in essence they're wake baits, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
a lot you can do with a rat. You can kind of work it almost like a walking bait too.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, the real draw is that shoreline out, you know, pulling those fish to you. And this is prime season for it. So we got the combat rat. We are done with our evergreen punch for right now.
Right on.
Right? All right. So let's talk about a very unique plastic. Okay. Strike King Rage Hawk. Now this thing right here is a little different. So the appendages are not on the back, not like a crawl. They're not on the back of the bait. So they're up on the sides of the bait.
And at the end they have the rage.
So we're not really talking about a swim jig trailer here or a flipping jig trailer. This is not the bait you want for that.
Right.
But flipping this bait as a finesse flipping bait, punching with it, rigging it up like on a ball head jig and swimming it open water like a little boot foot swim bait. I mean,
yeah,
like a bulky, powerful Ned style bait. I mean, there's a ton of unique situations for this bait right here.
What's the length on that?
You know, it's 2 3/4 inch.
2 3/4
you
know, inch.
You can actually put a 5-aught hook in it for you punchers and you flippers. You know, you get into a high pressured area that's got a bunch of fish on it. I mean, a bunch of fishermen on it. And, you know, you need to downsize. You know, I can tell you from my own experience, you know, I remember a tournament on the Potomac where going from a sweet beaver to a smallie beaver went from zero bites to pretty consistent, just that downsizing profile. So this is going to give you that smaller profile,
yeah,
a little bit of kick.
I like it.
Plus, you can use this as a very unique finesse bait. You know, be it on a Ned head, be it swimming it on a ball head in open water, D'Amici style fishing it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it comes in a bunch of colors, bunch of great colors, the green pumpkins, of course, the black and blues, and, you know, has, I think there's 6 different or 7 different colors back there that you can choose from. And all these baits that we're talking about are online on sfttackle.com. And you can check them out on there and pick up a couple.
So, Mike, I know you went fishing today.
Yeah.
And you said, man, I wish I would have grabbed a pack of those for your fishing trip.
Yeah.
What was going to be your idea? How were you going to rig it?
Well, exactly like George said, with the ball head jig, you know, throwing it out with a ball head jig. And I was going to kind of slow roll it to kind of see what it would do, because I think it's different than what we've been throwing out there, you know, with a regular boot foot swim bait and a small crawfish, you know, dragging on the bottom. I think this thing's going to give you a totally different kick with the legs like that, and being that it's Rage, you know, the Rage design with the boot on the back, it's going to give you a hellacious kick on it. So we're excited to throw it that way. But like George said, there's many times where we had situations where the finesse bite, you know, the finesse bite made the difference in sacking up a bag of fish or coming in, you know, with a zero. So this is going to be your finesse flipping bait, you know, for guys down at the flats in our tournament. You know, this is a bait that you can go in where there's a bunch of people on the flat. And you know what these areas are. There's just like 25, 30 boats in there, and you can go in and start flipping. And it's, downsize these baits. You're not going to believe it. You all of a sudden you're catching fish, and everybody's looking at you going, what in the hell is he doing? You know, making the right cast like you were finding out, Nick, the way you were doing it. And or putting a little different bait out there makes the biggest difference in the world when there's 3,000 Senkos being thrown at them and 7,000 chatterbaits being thrown at them. You know, sometimes it just, these types of baits make a difference.
I mean, it's a real deal. I mean, I've experienced it a couple different times where, you know, I was on a really good bite with whatever bait I was flipping. Usually I was big on reaction sweet beaver or, a brush hog or whatever. Crawl style bait, whatever, but usually like a creature bait, like a sweet beaver. And there's been numerous times, a couple times that really stand out to me where there was a lot of fish around. You got a lot of fishing pressure. You're in shallow water. You know, you got noise, you got trolling motors, you got graphs, you got people yelling back and forth to each other. It's like a barbecue going on out there on the water. And, you know, you don't want to leave because you're committed to the area due to the time of the day or what have you. And more than once, you know, my thing was the reaction sweet beaver. More than once, I'd switch up to that smallie beaver and wouldn't change anything but the bait and start getting bit.
Yeah.
You know? So it is a thing. Now, is it like, you know, every day of the week, go out and get 12 bags. No. But it's a, if you're fishing in you know, those situations, you know, you get a occasional situation where you need to go more subtle, it's a real deal.
Yeah.
And then also the ability to, you know, present a very different bait in a situation where you might throw a little boot foot on a ball head. You might, you know, throw like a big TRD, or you might, you know, D'Amici rig a minnow style bait. So it's a different bait. It's a,
I tell you, you know, I think
it's just a different deal.
I think today would have been a perfect day for him. I forgot the bag I had on my desk. I forgot it, of course. You know, I always forget it. But if you rigged it up like on a little swivel head, a small little swivel head like that, Ned swivel head, chucked it out there, because today the bite was super slow on the bottom. Like, you could throw a boot foot swim bait. That's what I caught them all on. But if I wasn't getting snagged up all the time and having to pop it loose, I couldn't get bit if I was reeling it too fast over top, you know. I had to keep it on the bottom. I had to have a lot of contact with the bottom. I had to fall in behind the rocks, and then they would bite it. That was the pattern. So this would have been great to be able to swim that real slow on a little swivel head and have that thing dragging on the bottom with them legs working. I think it would have been a perfect bait for it. I forgot the damn things. I forgot them. I'll make up.
Mike, that means you need to go back fishing tomorrow.
All right. I'll do it. Good call, Nick.
Hell yeah. Well, you know, staying with Strike King, got a couple more things for you guys. So Strike King had a little bit of a different year this year. And, you know, a lot of their stuff, not a lot, but a decent amount, several items from ICAST last year are just now showing up.
Ah.
So, you know, we're going to be talking about them probably up until when we go to ICAST this year. I'm not really making fun or anything, just saying. But, you know, they came out with some colors, and some of this stuff, you know, is dwindling in here. And I was kind of waiting for everything to get here before I went over it, but I'm tired of waiting. I'm done waiting.
I hate it. I hate the wait.
You know, it's May.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I'm literally making ICAST.
Almost a year later. Almost.
I'm literally making ICAST appointments now. You know, I ordered this stuff in June of last year. I mean, I don't know if anybody from Strike King's watching. Probably not. But if you are, I don't know, man. You might want to change the way you do things.
I just want to know why. Why would you do this?
But this color right here, they do make some hellacious baits, man.
Oh, they do.
I mean, this is a rage crawl, okay? Now, I don't know where you guys are at on the power rating rankings for your baits, but in my world, the rage crawl is a high ranking in the power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Way up there. I like to flip the rage crawl. It gets tough, especially when I'm on hardcover. If it gets tough, I like to flip a rage crawl. Texas rig it and flip it. I like it as a trailer on my chatterbait, my swim jig, my flipping jig. I like the baby rage crawl on my finesse jig. I mean, I think it's fair to say that I like rage crawls.
Yeah.
Now, this color, okay, is called Sexy Shad 2.0. And it's available in several baits. You know, they don't just make it in the rage crawl. You know, it's the Rage Bug, the structure bug, which I used to call the Denny Brower structure bug, but apparently that name's changed a little bit. Mm. But in my world, it's still going to be called the Denny Brower structure bug because, I mean, next to, you know, like the hierarchy would be like David Fritz, Denny Brower, you know, Paul Elias is in there.
Rick Klun.
Rick Klun's in there.
Kevin Van Dam.
Kevin Van Dam is—he's young. He's too young.
Too young to be in there.
I got one for you, George. The General.
The General's in there. Yeah. Larry Nixon.
Yeah.
George Cochran.
Kneeling and reeling.
Let's just get one thing right. The structure bug, when it was introduced, was called the Denny Brower structure bug. And he also had the DB crawl.
Still have it, don't they?
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
I would like to start a movement that from today on, whenever anybody goes to buy a structure bug, they specifically request it as a Denny Brower structure bug.
Yeah.
Don't ask for a structure bug.
Yeah. Call it a Denny Brower
structure bug. Ask for a Denny Brower structure bug.
We'll know what you're talking about.
And so will Denny.
And so will Denny.
So this is this color, which is Sexy Shed 2.0, is available in the Denny Brower structure bug. It's available in the Rage Crawl. Talk about a trailer color, man. Talk about a
chatterbait, man.
Talk about a chatterbait or a swim jig or a spinnerbait. Not so much a spinnerbait, I guess, but you could put it on a spinnerbait. I mean, it's America. You can do pretty much whatever you want
to
do.
I was waiting for that to come up.
It's also available in the Greg Hackney Hack Attack Heavy Cover Swim Jig. Mm. Okay? Now, they haven't shipped any of them yet, but it is available in that. But I'm sure they're going to show up quickly. But anyways, I just think this color is a trailer. This is a trailer color, right? So we're going to put this on our swim jig. We're going to put this on our chatterbait. Right? Mm-hmm. Look at that pearly essence holographic flake in the belly.
Don't they have...
You know, peeps, a lot of people go out and they buy art for their house. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could frame these baits and put them on your wall.
I'd hang it up.
And then you got the...
I'd hang it in my living room. My wife wouldn't be real happy about it, but I'd put it in my living room.
You got that kind of bluish back. That's called Sexy Shed 2.0, right?
That would be a great fluke bait, some Michael Bradley's saying.
How about the Baby Menace and the Menace Grub in that color? Well, guess what? They make it. They haven't necessarily shipped them all, but they have shipped the Baby Menace.
They did.
Huh. And guess what? That's a hell of a trailer.
Yeah.
You know, Van Damme's big on taking that trailer, that Baby Menace, and turning it on its side and getting the flap going this way. Yeah. So, I've been waiting a long time to talk to you guys about that color. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of a thing with me, you know, and I've been just waiting and waiting. And I got these big boxes in from Strike King today, and I'm like, I'll be a suck egg mule. They finally freaking got it done, right? So, now another color that's been in a little bit of distribution is called Carolina Chrome. And this color plays right now. So Carolina Chrome, you know, we're talking fish are shallow. Last week we talked about the various bait fish that are spawning. This is a primo bait fish spawn color. You know, the herring are about to spawn on all them southeast lakes. You know, we got the shad about to spawn up here. We got the blue back herring running up. We got all kinds of bait fish action. And this thing comes in the Rage Swimmer. Comes in the Blade Minnow. Well, let's just say it will come in the Blade Minnow.
Yeah.
For on the back of a chatterbait or a swim jig. Back of a chatterbait or a swim jig by itself. Carolina Chrome.
Is it going to come in the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Caffeine shad.
Yeah.
Caffeine shad. Actually, yeah. I think it's in stock in the caffeine shad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I saw it back
there. Okay. Caffeine shad. So, is everybody cool with the length of... Please put your comments that you like, you strongly approve, you modestly approve, or you disapprove of the length of Tackle Talk. Knowing that we're going to go into a tournament talk and knowing that we're going to go into a topic in some order, we might blend them together. Every week's a different ride. But we'd like to hear your comments on that.
These guys are all tackle junkies. I can't see it being anything but...
Except for John Kopp. We don't want to hear his comments.
Johnny Kopp?
Yep, he's been putting some comments out that don't play tonight. So, John, please hold your comments to yourself. Just kidding, John. You know we love you. So the next thing I want to bring up to you is a secret weapon that actually has kind of changed the way it's played. This is the riser bait. Okay. So this is actually a bait that was designed originally as a topwater bait. Kind of sinks a little bit, like a lot. But when you reel it, it kind of does a little Zara puppy walk across the surface. Right? But leave it up to the Elite Series, guys. They took this bait and they used it on live scope on herring spawn lakes by letting it sink down and then retrieving it above the fish. Now, it does have a profile very distinctive. Might even look like another bait that's on the market. That does the same thing. And that bait rhymes with Berkeley Credge. So this concept is not like it's gaining traction. You got a company like Berkeley making this same bait in a bigger version.
Mm-hmm.
This thing sinks. You can live scope it above the fish. I like it as a topwater. I'm just going to tell you, a spinning rod, a braid line is what I like. Like my 15-pound braid that I'll fish my leader on. I don't even put the leader on. I just tie it right to this thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how are you going to sink it?
I'm not going to.
Oh, you're fishing it. You mean
I'm fishing
surface.
It in 2 foot of water.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is a, when you get in that, like, let's say it's like this time of the year, right? You have bluebird sky. You got shallow water. Mm-hmm. You got different phases of the spawn, and you got big flat areas that just it's not happening. There's a couple tanks there, and you're not going to catch, like, every cast. But you stick this bait in your hand under those circumstances and leave it there, and you're going to catch 4 or 5 really big fish. Now, you can't use a big rod because it's a little hooks.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them at about a number.
8?
Hell, they might even be a 10. I think they're 8s.
I think they're 8s.
Right? Number 8s. This thing is deadly, right? This is the bone color, which is what a lot of people like. I'm real partial to this natural-looking. Well, if you're from Philly, we call it a John. This natural-looking John right here. This is a RT minnow.
That's a good one.
This is a good one. But they eat this thing like nobody's business. And, you know, it's not new. And Tackle Talk kind of has this stigma about being about new stuff, but not really. We bring old stuff back.
Yeah.
These things have been out of stock for so long. Yeah. It's like every time they get them back in stock, it's like a new release.
It is.
And I got to tell you.
You got to snatch them up because.
You don't need a lot.
Yeah, you only need a couple of them.
You need a couple.
If you guys were looking for them and you were like, oh, man, you finally got them, don't sit on it because who knows? We got a really good selection of them today. George was telling me how many we got. It was a really, really nice selection of them. But
so
them suckers will go.
Most of the guys that are going to buy these from us are going to be using them scoping. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a subtle, deadly topwater bait that, for whatever reason, when you do get bit, it's a big fish. When we got the samples of these things the first go around years ago, it was crazy. And I tell you how. Here's how scarce they are. Like, we share the samples that we never really got. Like, if you think we have them, we don't. We have two.
Yeah, we sell out, like,
and
instantly before we get them.
Our inner circle has, like, 3. So, like, we share these things amongst each other. And the rule is, if you're going to borrow it, you got to fish it on braid. Because if you lose it, then you're going to find out how the family works. And I'm talking La Familia on that one. So that's the riser bait from Jackal. Great bait. Really good bait. So let me go through my checklist here, people. Yeah. Okay. I think I'm done with tackle talk.
With all that tackle up there.
This?
Wow.
This is an optical illusion.
A lot of stuff up there.
Well, I've got other stuff going on tonight, okay?
Oh, yeah.
This isn't like a one-hour freaking tackle talk show.
Yeah.
We gotta pigeonhole this in like 30 minutes max.
Yeah. Well, you got your answers. Everybody loves it. They strongly approve of it. Lots of tackle talk, please.
What did John Kopp say?
Definitely love, love the tackle talk. Greg Plank loves it. Larry Show, everybody loves it.
That's cool.
That's what they want. So we got to have more tackle talk.
Well, I mean, you know, too much of a good thing is too much.
Well, people telling you right now they want more.
You got to give the people what they want.
You know, got to give people what they want.
I got to tell you. So I'm watching this. I'm videoing you guys. I'm watching.
Yeah.
I mean, George is naked tonight. Do you see what I'm seeing? There's something missing with George tonight.
Yeah, he's naked.
He's naked.
Changed my glasses.
Yeah. What's going on, George?
Well, I'm supporting my passion for fishing boat docks. And when I put the glasses on, it blocks my stuff up here. So maybe I can get like some kind of partial profile there. How's that?
There they are.
Now he's back.
That's my Sightmaster yellow Sightmaster.
I was
going
to say, Nick, who are you and what did you do with my brother?
Sightmaster yellow Mokus. Sightmaster, what do they call them? They don't call it Sightmaster yellow. They call it what do they call that? Sunrise silver mirror.
And sunrise. For those that don't know, that color is a must-have.
Must-have. Well, currently it's the only color I have because all my other glasses have disappeared.
But, George, tell everybody why you need to have that color.
All right. So I'm going to break this down for you. If you're a shallow water fisherman, okay, I would like to say this. If you have your early mornings, if you have your overcast days, this color will actually brighten those situations up. But if you're a shallow water guy and you're looking in the water for, not just for fish, but for fish, for cover, piece of cover, the contrast that this sunrise silver mirror gives you, it highlights like on a largemouth bass, what you see first is the black lateral line. That's the first thing you're going to see every time. That's what you're going to see. Pick out, you know, a subtle, like, you know, we fish a lot of, up north, we fish a lot of, like, sand patches in the grass, or we fish a lot of, like, flat rocks, whatever. So for your low light conditions, I got bad news for you. You're going to need another pair of glasses. And it's going to be Sunrise Silver Mirror Costas for the win.
And you know what else I like to use them for, George? In the mornings when it's overcast, I don't like flying down the lake without glasses on. Mm-hmm. And that's the perfect color that it really brightens everything up for you so you can see.
Absolutely.
And that's a safety issue. But I also would like to talk about glasses in general. And, you know, I don't care what brand. I'm a Costa guy, whatever. There's lots of great glasses out there. We're just big fans of Costa. But from a safety standpoint, so back in my guiding days, this happened to me twice, okay? where I had clients. One time a client was hung up in a tree, and he's doing the old walk across the boat and stretch the line to break it, okay, which is a big no-no. We usually have a small little training session on, you know, reeling up and shocking the line real quick. But this particular time, I was preoccupied with my other client, and that bullet weight came out of that tree and hit that man exactly in the center of his lens. Okay, so that would have been bye-bye eyeball. All right? Another time that that happened, it hit me in the center of my lens. That would have been bye-bye eye. Now, not just twice. It happened a third time on my boat. So, you know, if you think this is something that doesn't happen or it's rare, if you spend a lot of time on the water, it's not. If you fish with a lot of different people, it's not. So on my boat, you're fishing, you have glasses on. It can be your prescription glasses. They can be a pair of sunglasses. I carry a couple extra pair of glasses in my boat and for both my boats, both of our boats, for that reason. It's not just for the performance of your fishing, although that's a big reason. I literally could have had probably three blindings just on my boat. And I've heard the story from many other people. So it's not just that. It's a safety thing. So get yourself a good pair of glasses. Take advantage of the good polarizing that's out there, you know, and have, you know, when you get that discretionary income to purchase that second pair, get a pair of Sunrise Silvers. If you spend a lot of time on the water, I'll tell you, I wear mine driving all the time. You know, I'm getting older. My sight's not as crisp as it used to be. In the mornings, and particularly in the evenings, right at dusk, or if it's foggy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure people are driving the other way down the road looking at me with my sunglasses on, thinking there's something wrong with me. But if you are in a fog situation and you put these on, it brightens it up.
Yeah.
So, big difference. And you know what? I apologize for not being fully dressed on national television. But how do you like the hat, huh? You know, I spent a lot of years fishing boat docks, and it never occurred to me that someone would actually make a hat that fits my lifestyle. I mean, now, I don't call it fishing boat docks. I call it flipping boat docks. Now, the hashtag is technically fishing boat docks, but I'm not really quoting that hashtag. I'm not that whoever did this, James Watson, your social media, I hope you're doing well, but I like flipping boat docks. I think you should possibly consider changing it from fishing boat docks to flipping boat docks. And I would open the table up for discussion. You know, at the higher levels, you know, you could ask the leaders of some of the tours. Like, I would ask Boyd Duckett what he thinks about flipping boat docks, you know?
Yeah.
I would ask, like, Tommy Sanders what he thinks about flipping boat docks. And just put it out there, right? I love flipping boat docks. And I want to thank my friend, cameraman Nick, for gifting me this beautiful hat.
It looks good on you, George.
Yeah, it's a Richardson, you know, which is you know, kind of my jam. And I'm gonna see what happens, right?
There you go.
Working on a new one for another release. You know, it has to do with grass beds. I may not be able to sell that one and not go to jail, but we're working on it. Yeah. So what else is up, hashtag? Boys? Huh?
What's the hashtag?
I don't want to get into that right now. I have to check with the FCC.
FCC.
Got to get his lawyers involved first.
Yeah. I got to get my law firm, the Honorable Joey Bag of Donuts from Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. So what else is up, fellas? What's new, Nick? How about sliding off track a little bit here and telling us the one thing you learned fishing last weekend that's forever, you already told me, that's forever going to change your shallow water life.
Okay. All right, I will do that. So we're talking about electronics, and, you know, everybody knows the forward view. What do you call it? Just the regular forward view.
Yeah.
But don't be afraid to try that perspective view.
Now, in shallow water.
In shallow water, I have the 360. 360 changed my fishing.
Okay.
Okay, it really did. But now you have the live version of half the 360. And if you're fishing certain covers, actually any cover really, you can in real time pick and choose right where you want to cast. And I can tell you it's a game changer.
Right, because on the 360, that sweeper has to come around.
Yep.
Because your boat's always moving.
And I was just going to say that, George, if you're power pulled down, it's fine. But if you're moving and you're doing your thing, you're 360, you don't know where that's actually at.
You're getting close.
Yeah, you're getting close.
But you're not dotting the I.
But now it's like, ooh, baby.
But at the risk of sounding like I know anything about perspective, because I don't, you know, because I'm hashtag FVO, for review only. You know, it's hard to hit that target if it's farther than 40 feet out on your first cast.
And I think with that perspective view, I don't think you want to be doing 100 feet out.
You certainly don't.
I think you want to be that 50 feet and in.
Yeah.
Because you need to be more precise.
Plus, you're fishing hard cover and or grass.
Absolutely.
And, you know, who wants to be bombing 100-foot cast in grass beds? Right. I mean, we don't do that.
You see any fish on it?
You can absolutely see fish. You can see schools of fish. You can see all
now,
that.
Now, you were on the Chesapeake Bay on the flats.
Correct.
Now, did you see any giant fish?
Yes.
On there? I'm talking, like, fish that you would put at 49-plus pounds?
I did. Okay. I seen fish that absolutely were not bass.
Okay, so would you say you saw a carp that was over 49 pounds?
I can't say I seen a carp that was over 49 pounds, but I can say I probably seen a
because
carp.
49 pounds is not a random number.
What is it? The new record?
Yes.
Did you World catch record? It, George?
No, Maryland title Maryland. Record.
Really?
And it was caught a year ago.
Wow.
By a gentleman that shops our store and fishes our tournaments.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah. I got to find out what he's up to.
He's carping
Logan
now.
Kerman.
He's a carp fisherman now.
He's a hell of a stick when it comes to the game of bass. Let me just tell you that. Young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Kerman's 49-pound carp.
Still stands?
Well, it took him, you know, I mean, the process of record certification is a lengthy one.
Mm.
I mean, O.J. Simpson got out of prison quicker than this sumbitch got certified. But Logan Kerman, last summer, he caught a 49-pound common carp. Common carp now. Not a blue mirror. That's only been done a couple times on the Chesapeake Bay, as far as I know.
That's a huge fish.
49 pounds. Caught it on a Texas rig worm.
No way.
Wow.
So, you know, if you see anything on your perspective mode that you would estimate at a 49-pound-plus carp, you might want to put a bait or two on it because you, too, could set a new record.
Well, I did not see a 49-inch carp or pound. 49-pound carp, but I can tell you down in Florida, I seen an alligator on my perspective.
Oh.
And that was quite interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this much.
That'd be a little over 49 pounds.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
I'll tell you this much. They don't have a classification for that on the Chesapeake Bay.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But no, George, I'm glad you brought that up because it's true. You know, with technology today, with the baits that are coming out, there are so many things. I don't even know if our brains have wrapped our minds around yet that you can really do.
Yeah.
And you can see when you watch the elites, like you brought up, they're on the water every day. They know what all their tools can do. They know the limitations, and really there are none. Where us, you know, guys that fish on the weekends, we're so far behind.
Well, we learn something. We learn something, and then we have to work for 5 or 6 days before we get to
correct.
You know, further our theory on that or our learning on that. Whereas if you learned something on Monday, and you're a professional fisherman, you can work on that Tuesday or Wednesday or every day.
Yep.
Which would, you know, that same 5 week, 5 day time might be 5 weeks for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yep.
So that learning curve. But I like asking you guys, you know, at the end, especially now that we're fishing hard, I like asking you guys occasionally, what's the one thing? Now, Mike, you fished today.
I fished today.
So you were telling us that you thought you were like in between a spawn.
Yeah, I don't know. I
post spawn and an upcoming spawn.
I don't know what's going on this year. I think it's a really weird
year. I get that. I don't really want to get into that, but
yeah.
But I do want to ask you the $20 question.
Yeah.
What was one thing today that when you were driving home after you put your boat on the trailer, you said to yourself, man, that's a nice little nugget of knowledge?
Well, you know, I was just that. Well,
gotta grab you now.
I kind of said it's not. It's nothing that I really would say anything other than, you know, how when we fish small swim baits, little boot foot paddle tail swim baits, you know, we throw them out and we reel them back. Throw them out, reel them back. You know, but during this time of year when these fish are, you know, post spawn, right, and spawning, you know, just slow down. Slow your swim bait down and today if you didn't do that, you didn't get bit. As soon as I was, because I was throwing around, I wasn't getting bit. I was reeling it pretty quick, trying to cover water. And then I might have thrown a backlash. Not sure. Professional overrun is what I like to call it.
So is that where your voice got a little?
Yeah, yeah. And I stripped out the line and then I started reeling it up and then I caught up to it and was on the bottom and then I reeled it and I was getting hung up and boom, I just caught one like just. You know, ain't that funny how your tips are given, you know, one little tip might be from a snag or one little tip might be from a backlash or one little tip might be from something crazy.
Yeah.
So then I landed that fish and it was a nice fish. And I threw back out maybe two casts later and I was just real slow creeping along, getting hung up, popping it loose and reeling that thing along and boom, catch another one. And then boom, catch another one. I caught like 8 or 9 fish in this area that we fished. That's a stop for going in and a stop for going out of a spawning area. And sometimes, man, you got to slow down. You just got to slow down and drag it, you know, get it, not dragging, but just really hitting the bottom and rattling around down there real close to the bottom.
Doing what we call painting rocks.
Painting rocks, exactly.
I love that.
And that was something today that
I have to come up with a hashtag for that.
You know, because I threw the swim bait first thing in the morning a lot, and the little ones were attacking it, you know. They were really aggressive. But the big fish just weren't happening, you know. And it was until I slowed down that I started getting a better quality fish. And it's a good thing to remember. Good thing to remember.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for those tips, guys. You know, sharing them.
I can't ask you anything about shallow water fishing because you didn't get to go fishing today.
I didn't, no. Last week. But not today.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go fishing this weekend, so I'll next week's on the show. I'll bring you my
tips.
My one big thing, whatever that may be.
Yeah. Hugin.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some of these wake baits here, George. Tell us. I mean, I love fishing a wake bait.
Yeah. Let's chop it up.
Love fishing it.
Well, so to me, there's two, and I don't know what you guys think about this, but for me, there's two times of the year where wake bait shines, and this is one of them. You know, the spawn period and the beginning of the pre-spawn period, it shines, okay? If you're fishing a grass fishery, it shines even more. If you're an accurate caster, it's a phenomenal shallow hardcover target bait.
Yeah, okay? Trees and
I mean you can have a wake bait that is not very big. This is probably my current favorite wake bait.
That thing is stupid good.
Catch a lot of fish on it. It casts really well. Comes through the cover really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Macbeth. 50 size, shallow.
That's the Shimano Macbeth series.
And very good.
That thing, man, this past year, George and I threw it a lot, and we've had some great success on that.
You can size it up a little bit. Get a little bit bigger bite there with that 2.5 KVD Wake. This bait right here, you're going to need to start out with a high rod position. About halfway back to the boat, you'll lower that rod position. This bait here is a wake bait. This is not. This doesn't need any modification from rod position, right?
And George, so the bait, the Macbeth, right?
I love it.
Who makes that bait?
Shimano.
Shimano. Yep.
And there's a giveaway going on the Upper Bay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
This would be a good one to throw.
You yeah. might want to think about that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's most wake baits in the smaller crankbait sizes are, you know, characterized by a super, like, tail swing combined with a super accentuated body roll. So you get a...
Get a wake.
Yeah, it's real aggressive.
Yeah.
And the wake bait, the reason it's so good during the spawn and the early pre-spawn is it calls fish. It triggers aggressive bites. It calls them up. Now, you know, as with any topwater type bait, with any, you know, bait that calls a fish out, you got to have a backup plan. You got to have a backup plan. You got to have a, you know, a Senko rigged up or
a follow bait.
A wacky. There's numerous baits that will work as a backup bait, but you got to have something. If you miss a fish, you want to bring that bait in, switch rods, and put a good presentation on that fish. It could be a fluke. It could be a Senko. You know, my favorites would be like a Senko or a wacky or a fluke. And have that ready. Don't be like, oh, okay, let me dig that out of the rod locker. No, just stop, get it out, and then keep fishing because that fish left. He's at his next meeting. You know, as we talked about with the rats, you can size these wake baits up and get even more drawing power, right? So, you know, we talked about like a mid-size. You know, like a mid-size, this is the Spro. You know, it's just a nice mid-size wake bait. It's not too big. This is going to be their 40 size, right, as opposed to their 50 size. But what I want you to think about is the ability to pull fish to you, right? So what I like to do, I like to think of these as search baits, but occasionally you'll get on a pattern where it's like a portion of your day will be all your fish will come on a wake bait. Typically, lower light, okay? Typically, overcast or lower light conditions is when they really shine. You know, the time of year is now into the early. Post-spawn. But I will say this, you know, that September, we always have a show talking about, like, the Bermuda Triangle of September.
Oh, yeah.
A wake bait. There's a lot of fish shallow that time of the year that are just kind of, like, doing their own thing. And a wake bait lets you put the trolling motor on and go.
Yeah.
And if you think about it as a numbers game, it's a great way to roll.
That was going to be my point, is that, you know, they great search baits, man. Great, or just great bait to cover a lot of water and you know, find out where they're hanging out. You know, searching those fish up.
Right.
Well, is there for you guys? Is there any certain covers that tell you wake bait? Any certain kind of conditions of the water you're fishing?
Absolutely. So first and foremost is grass. You know, be it, you know, submerged grass like milfoil, eelgrass, or bank grass like water willow. Love throwing a wake bait around water willow. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
When the water's up a little bit and that water willow is just barely there. Absolutely love it. That's why it's so good this time of the year. A very overlooked place for it is shade lines. You know, if you don't have that cloud cover, you know, you had that morning bite, but the fish seem active. Focus on shade lines with it.
I mean, they just get, just bad crazy around. And another time is all these bait fish spawns, right? All these shad spawns and minnow spawns and different bait fish spawns. And that's to me is where these crankbait style wake baits shine. Now the bigger wake baits, like the rat style wake baits, you know, the medium size to the bigger ones, you know, not this size. I put this in with the crankbait size. But the bigger ones, okay, this is the same mentality as a swim bait. You're hunting for big fish. Okay, now you may catch whatever, but you're hunting, you know, with the bigger wake baits, the rat style baits, you're hunting for, and this is an effective technique. This produces big bites. Again, have the backup bait ready. Another wake bait that I really like in this scenario is the Sewitch from Megabass. So it's got the adjustable lip, and you can make it a diving bait, or you can make it a wake bait, and it is a wake bait. You can straight wind it. You can speed wind it. You can jerk it like a jerk bait. It's got a more slender profile. It's a subtle bait. Catches a lot of fish. So, you know, whatever bait you choose for whatever situation you're in, these things are money, right? Now, one of the things I like to do is I like to throw them on big line. You know, I typically, and I'm not, you know, whether you're throwing it on braid or mono or fluoro, you know, I'm not real particular about that. I mean, you know, fluoro sinks, but you're retrieving these baits, so it's a non-issue. Mm-hmm. You know, the smaller baits like the Macbeth 50, I'm throwing on 15. Or I'm throwing on 40 braid. Those are my two rods that I throw it on. I'll do that with the Wake 2.5. I'll do that with the little 40. Okay? When I start going up in size, you know, now I'm either going to throw this on a 20 is where I like to be, right? Or if you're a braid guy, on the bigger ones, get up into 50. Get the 50 range in braid. Don't get too worried about the line. You know, these are moving baits. Mm-hmm. They're top water consideration baits, right?
What combination, you got the line there, which we understand. What rod combination would you use for that? And you know, knowing that you're fishing different structure or different cover.
Well, it just depends on the size of the bait. I mean, you know, the smaller the bait, like the Macbeth or the little KBD, I'm basically throwing that on. I mean, I usually throw it on a 7'1", medium to medium heavy fast taper, just regular multi-purpose rod. You know, when I start getting up in them bigger baits, then you're getting into your swim bait rods. So, you know, with the heavier line.
So you wouldn't use a moderate, like a medium, heavy, moderate, heavy, moderate for it? That's interesting because that you got to understand you're fishing around cover, you know, and it's a treble hook. You know, it's a treble hook bait that you would usually want to have a moderate, but then you might not have enough pulling power to get the fish out of the cover and up out of the cover. So it's interesting that in this situation, you're using a fast taper, you know, a medium or a medium-heavy fast taper.
So the small bait, the medium fast taper is spectacular.
Yeah.
The bigger bait, you know, when you start going up into the bigger baits, the medium-heavy, just because of the weight.
Yeah.
The big baits, swim bait rods. But
yeah,
what's important to know is you got different retrieves going on. So you might have just a straight wind. You might have a stop and go. You might be popping it a little bit. But when you hook the fish, if you're fishing shallow wood, shallow grass, you know, which is generally what you're fishing here, when you hook the fish, you want to direct them away from that cover if it's a big fish. You know, if you have a medium rod and you hook a 5-pounder and he buries you up in that grass, your chances of landing that fish go down substantially.
Especially if they get it, like, when the back hook and the front hook's flopping around, that's grabbing grass.
You know, you get that medium heavy.
Keep his head up.
And, you know, you can, you know, you can't get, just you just can't winch them out because you can pull those hooks. They're not big hooks, but this, by the same token, you want to get that fish to freedom, which is open water. Get them out of the grass. If you're fishing water willow, that stuff's like bamboo stalks. You know, milfoil, you know, they bury up in a couple clumps of milfoil. You're going to get slack in your line. Eelgrass, you pretty much can rip them through. A big old gnarly laydown, that's a problem. You know, rock or a seawall, that's not too much to worry about. A boat dock, not too much to worry about. So, you know, you got to consider those things when you're choosing your rod and reel. But just a good, you know, versatile, multi-purpose, you know, 7 foot, 7'1", 7'2", mm-hmm. you know, or shorter if you're more comfortable with a roll cast with like a 6'8", whatever, 6'9", 6'10", whatever. But medium fast to medium heavy fast is going to cover 90% of this work, and it's going to do a great job, okay? That's yeah. my take. Line we talked about, you're going to do a 15 fluoro, you're going to do a 40 braid. Reel, you know, nothing crazy. You're just your typical like 7-2 ratio, nothing, you know, you don't have to do anything specific here. Remember, the rod and reel combo are very multi-purpose. But the power of the wake bait, if you're not throwing, and I don't care if you're smallmouth fishing, I don't care if you're largemouth fishing, I don't care what kind of body of water you're on, this thing has a tremendous drawing power. Now, for me, it's a tidal water magician, and it is a flowing river. Like, I love the smallmouth fish on the Susquehanna.
Yeah, it's fantastic
it's,
on
it's
shallow deadly. Flats, big shallow flats with rocks on
deadly.
It. Big long ledge runs where you're going over a lot of ledges and just covering water. You know, it's really good for that. You know, shallow water ledges, phenomenal.
I love it around grass.
And George, I'm glad you brought up the smallmouth too, because we've had some of our best days with wake baits in the post spawn, early post spawn up north in these smallmouth lakes. They can't take it. They gotta have it.
Yeah, they eat it.
It's an aggressive bait. And it draws a, remember, these are reaction strikes. So these baits draw a very aggressive strike. Now, the bigger baits, you know, that when you start getting into, you know, the bigger rat baits, again, you're probably going to see more fish that you catch on a backup bait. But when you pull that fish up, you fire that fish up. So now that's a hot fish. That next cast is getting bit. You know, and it might be, you know, it might be, you might even follow it up with a chatterbait, for God's sakes. But, you know, typically if you stick with those other baits. Now, the obvious benefit here is the ability to catch a couple of really big fish. This is all the big fish are up shallow right now. This is why these things shine this time of the year. All the big fish are up shallow. This is the time of the year when the biggest fish in your lake are in the shallowest water that they're going to be in. And this thing calls them. So, you know, the wake bait topic was born of introducing this rat, but whatever rat. Right? Whatever rat. You like the bullshad rat? Whatever. You got to have a big rat. And you got to throw it. You just can't have it. You got to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
But now these smaller wake baits, they're your utilitary day-in, day-out wake baits that are, in this time of the year, you best be living with them.
I heard some sad news about wake baits recently.
Okay.
Man's Company.
Oh, the Baby One Minus?
Baby One Minus.
I would technically call that a wake bait.
Baby One Minus?
No. That dives about a foot.
If you hold your rod up, you can wake the hell out of it.
Well, yeah, you got to really hold your rod up.
Real good about the, real good around the trees.
You got to really hold your rod up and you got to reel it slow. But, I mean, that's an awesome bait.
Yeah.
That is currently
sad
in a bad situation, but I'm sure somebody will rescue that. But yeah, that's not good.
No.
Yeah.
Sad state of affairs there.
So, I'd like to hear from you guys as far as your wake bait wisdom. See what I did there?
Wake bait wisdom?
Yeah, what do you got? What's one little nugget that you can throw out there on the power of the wake bait?
Go ahead, Nick.
All right, I'll go. So, like, you know, again, I'd say that early post-spawn, a lot of people like to throw, let's say, a walk-the-dog topwater.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they'll be blowing up on it, but they won't take it. Don't be afraid to go with the wake bait instead because it's a little more subtle. And for some reason, it just pisses these bass off, and they got to have it. And I've seen it plenty of times where you're walking a dog, and you can almost keep throwing that topwater just because you're getting the action, but you're not hooking up. And you got to go, okay, something's not right. Go a little subtler and try that wake bait. It does work.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and you know, another thing that I've always been attracted to on the wake bait, especially fishing like pressured waters. We live in the Northeast. We fish the Potomac. We fish the Chesapeake Bay. I mean, everywhere we fish, it's pressured.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I really like about a wake bait, very few people will be drinking the Kool-Aid on this show. There's not a lot of people who are throwing a wake bait. And those that aren't talking about it. A wake bait is an extremely effective bait for all the reasons we highlighted. Plus, it's very seldom fished. It's a category of bait that's kind of like, it's kind of in limbo, right? It's kind of like a crankbait. It's kind of like a topwater. And this is news at 11 stuff coming up now. Ooh. I'm going to tell you what I include in the wakebait category in my world that is in play right now. Two things. And I'm going to catch some flack on this, but you know what? I don't really care. A buzzbait. I consider a buzzbait a wakebait.
Man.
Yeah. I'm not asking for anybody to, like, agree with me.
And I'm not going to agree with you.
And the other thing, an oversized Colorado spinnerbait.
Now, I agree with that.
You get that up there, you know, old Jimmy Houston style.
Yep, up on the top.
And that bad boy is gurgling. And the trick to that spinnerbait is to fish it as fast and as high in the water as you can without having the blade blow out.
Yeah.
Now, the blade is going to blow out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Every now and then.
The blade is going to blow out. Now, and I'm going to tell you, for all you people out there that don't consider a buzzbait a wakebait, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because I think of it in the same regards as I think of a wakebait.
I don't know, man. That's out there.
It is out there. It's out there, and I like it like that.
All right, okay? George.
That's out there.
So if the buzzbait...
Little rebuttal there, boys.
...is a wakebait, then I have to add one to this because then I consider this a wakebait. The pompadour.
Well... I mean,
I see you guys are just getting all silly. Well, you're getting all silly. You're getting, see, George, this is the kind of can of worms that you open up, and all of a sudden, a popper.
I caught some big fish on that pompadour, and that. Hey, well,
first of all, I told you probably weren't going to agree with it.
I don't agree at all.
And
the spinner bait, I can understand it. I totally can see that.
Yeah, because it's set up to wake.
And. It's a tricky situation there fishing that spinnerbait to get it because you do want it to blow out like every 10 feet or so, but you really want that certain sound to it. It's hard.
The gurgle?
It's hard.
The gurgle?
to do. It's hard to do.
Would you call it a gurgle?
No.
No, really?
No, I
wouldn't. You wouldn't call that a gurgle?
No.
Wow. I mean, that's a gurgle all day long.
I can't get it to gurgle, but I can get it to, you know, to...
Would it be a bloop bloop?
I'm not going to go through sounds with you.
What size spinnerbait?
3/8. The 3/8 I think is easier to do it with, but
two and a half.
You got to realize it's a big Colorado blade.
Yeah, you're putting like a 5 on there.
It's a big Colorado blade.
You're getting
blade.
A combination gurgle and a bloop bloop.
this guy is off the rocker.
So George,
tonight.
What say you with the pompadour?
Boy,
that's a tough one.
Negative Ghost Rider.
I'm a big pompadour guy.
That's a top water bait.
So
I agree with that.
I'm going to say nay.
And a buzz bait's a top water.
I agree with you, Mike.
Yeah. I'm out there on my island with my buzz bait. But
I'll tell you this.
Let me finish. My buzz bait is a gurgle and a bloop bloop and a screen door all rolled up in one. And I take the skirt off, and what do I put on there a lot?
A fluke.
Yeah.
Fluke, frog.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, fluke. If you go frog, then it's a topwater. But if you go fluke.
It's getting deep, Mike.
Yeah, it's getting bad.
It's a wake bait.
It's a reach.
It's a reach.
It's a real long reach.
I have pioneered this water, plowed this field for you guys to reap your harvest.
That's all right. You call it a wake bait. We'll call it what everybody else in the friggin' world calls it, which is a topwater bait.
Okay.
I know how to
actually solve that issue right now. So if you go in sfttackle.com,
yeah,
and you go under wake baits, will a buzz bait be in that category?
No.
Well,
not going to be there.
I'm not. Let's back up. Wind the tape back. I'm not asking for permission to call it a wake bait.
No, you did.
I am simply saying that in my conversation on wake baits.
If you're going to say something like that.
I feel as though, and I have reasons to back it up, the gurgle, the bloop bloop, and the screen door creates an interesting wake bait. Have you ever listened to a wake bait? It's got a lot of gurgle, and it's got some bloop bloop.
Well, I guarantee you, if I said to 90% of the people, hey, go back here and get me that 2 top waters that you'd like to throw. Out of 10 people, 6 or 7 of them are going to be grabbing a buzzbait and bringing it.
I'll tell you what I got.
And if I say to them, go back and grab me a wake bait. No, you can't do it now because
tomorrow
everybody's going to come in now and they're going to get it as a wake bait.
Disallow everybody on this show.
No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count because I would say to somebody like go back and get 2 wake baits and then what they're going to come up with? They're going to come up with the Macbeth and they're going to come up with a striking.
Again, I totally agree with you. And you're trying to.
I don't care what you want to call. You call whatever you want, but. That's out there.
But I want to think of it.
If you're the kind of guy that's going to throw it out there, you're going to get ridiculed.
So let's get back on track here, okay?
And you got to be able to
Let's get back on track here. So
all right.
The buzz bait is performing the same job as the wake bait. So in your wake bait fishing, when you get on that wake bait style of bite, don't overlook the buzz bait. Is all I'm saying. I'm not calling it a wake bait. I'm saying
agreed.
It does the work of a wake bait. And some days it's more aggressive than others. And on days when it's not, you're probably going to be way better off with a wake bait.
Well, I thought it was
interesting.
The point that I'd like to make about
myself
wake bait fishing is rod position. You do have to have a lot. On some baits, you absolutely have to start out with your rod up high to make that bait wake, you know, on a long cast. You know, if you put your rod down right away, you're going to allow your line to bite into the water and you're going to pull your bait under the water and you're not going to get it to wake properly. So, you know, rod position, some baits you really got to hold it real high. Other baits you don't have to hold it as high. But rod position, as you're reeling in, you'll be dropping your rod. As you're reeling in, your rod tip can come down closer to the water. And then getting halfway to the boat, you can be pretty close to the water. But when you start out on your cast, you got to have a real high rod tip. Now, what's that? It creates a problem with hook sets. You know, you got to. And what I like about a high rod, Nick, is with a wake bait, is when you kind of drop your rod back, you can almost drop that bait in their mouth when they're sucking it in. You know what I'm saying? When they come up and they hit it, you can drop your rod and let them have that slack to drop that and take it a little bit better. So that's, you know, that high rod will really help you on hook sets on the end of your cast. But you're gonna have to mess with your rod angles big time when you're messing with this to make it wake properly, because they do, you know, sometimes they don't wake properly. Some baits just don't. They'll dive a little deeper than you want them to, so you'll have to hold your rod up to get it to do it. Like George said about
this bait right here,
the baby one minus.
No, this bait is a 2.5 KVD wake.
Yeah,
you do have to start a high rod tip on the beginning of this retrieve, and then once it will not be on the surface for the first two cranks of the handle. Once it gets up there, it stays up there. Now, along those lines, I'd like to bring up a sleeper scenario for the wake bait that has been probably, it has made me reach for a wake bait. Like, think of it, think of yourself out fishing, right? And you're going to make a bait change. Do you sit down and flip your tackle lid open and peruse your boxes trying to come up with an idea? Because if you do, you're not really on them. Or do you jump down and grab a specific bait to make a change to get a reaction from a fish? Then you're on them. That latter is this situation is the latter when you're going to reach down and grab that wake bait. I'm talking to you tidal water guys. I'm talking specifically about late spawn and primarily post spawn period. Okay? And if you're on an area that has a good healthy milfoil population. Is that the right word? Population? Coverage of milfoil. Look out. Look out. Pay attention as you're fishing along and going through your progressions. Pay attention to as that grass starts to top out. Now, when I say top out, I'm talking about the grass. It stands up in the water like this. Kind of bends over a little bit when the tide's on it. But when the water starts to go below it, it becomes like a tension thing, and it just kind of is there, right? And it, if it's a thicker grass patch of milfoil particularly, it's going to kind of influence the flow of the water. And at a certain point, you're going to get like little areas in that grass flat where the grass is a little bit sparser. And as that tide drops and we get into that what we call the rip, those little areas are going to open up as channels, and that water is going to accelerate through there because it's not being held. This is holding it back. This is holding it back, and it's rolling through here. And you're going to get these micro feeding lanes where these fish pick up on them little points. That's wake bait time, baby. You pick that wake bait up, and you hit every one of those little. And they, you can just see them, man. They open up in front of your eyes. It just forms up right in front of you.
Well said, George, because that's money right there.
That is money, and yep. I'm telling you, it's a brief window of an outgoing tide. It's a very brief 15, 20 minutes,
but
30
minutes.
But if
you hit that right, you can get right in a hurry.
You can get
oh yeah.
You can get real right with real big fish real quick because, you know, like when that happens, the dominant fish picks up on them little pop them little points, and you're going to say, you know what, George, I am dialed in on that, but I prefer a frog, or I'm dialed in on that, and I prefer, you know what, I love it. If you have a game plan for that, then that's great, and the fact that you're dialed in on that, that's great, but for me,
now
that is primo wake bait stuff, and around here, that's in June.
I'll be a little controversial with my next wake bait choice. Very controversial. But I like to take a rattle trap, and I like to throw that thing out there, and I like to really get that thing on the surface. I really like to really hum that thing along with my the 10-to-1 bait caster, and I can get a really nice wake with that rattle trap. So I'm going to throw that in a category.
Yeah, but you forgot something, Mike. What is it? Bloop and blop or gargle?
There's no gurgle. There's no bloop, yeah. And there's no
screen door.
Screen door.
Well, I got screen door with the tinny tin tins in it. You know, I got tinny tin tin going. You know, I got the Rin tin, the T tin going on the surface.
That's disturbing to me.
It's just out there. It's out there. It's a little bit off to the side, but I mean, I'm just saying.
You could have thought that and not said it, but that's okay.
You know, you went there. I didn't.
No, I'm not making a joke.
Well.
I am telling you that I will defend the buzz bait with the trailer as a wake bait.
I mean, I would say to myself, I would say, like, if I'm getting, like, blow-ups and stuff, or I'm getting those types of reactions, that another good bait to throw would be a topwater buzz bait.
That's cool.
You know, as a topwater, you know, to really get it on there for more noise, different type of noise.
I'm going to mark you down as a no on that. Because my note specifically, question mark, do you consider a buzz bait and a spinner bait here?
Oh. Oh, if you put it like that.
Dot, 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 I do.
Oh.
I got you down as a no. Now, I don't want to bog down on this anymore because. No,
I just was saying.
I really think you crossed the line there.
I did go a little far out there, Nick, huh?
Yeah, I don't know where you
are. I mean, you're on a pompadour, you know, so I got to throw something out there.
Not really.
Floating rattle trap, somebody said. Yeah, why not? Yeah. All right, so I tell you, the wake bait is a lot of fun when it's a bait where you, and honestly, we have a rod that when we tie it up, it stays in the rod locker all the time with a wake bait on it.
Well, from now until the end of June, it sure enough does.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
And it ain't in the rod locker.
I mean, well, I'm just saying that there's always one ready to go, because there's so many times where you should just pick it up and put a little time on it, you know, just to see, because it's like a topwater bite. You don't always have a topwater bite. But when you get that wake bait bite and it's happening, it's very, and another thing about it is, it's funny how you'll catch key fish on it, Nick. You know, you get these really key bites on that. Like, man, I caught this giant on this wake bait today, or I had two good keepers on a wake bait.
I'm glad you brought that up, because everybody gets dialed into the bait they're throwing.
Yeah.
But I think what we're finding out, even like in the elites and everything, they don't necessarily throw the same bait all day.
Right.
And you might catch a key fish on this bait, catch a couple on that bait. But yeah, you're right. The wake bait is one of those baits where it's like, I didn't load up today.
Well, for example.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Because if you look at today's Bass Pro Tour coverage on Lake Eufaula, you know, they've got bushes that are flooded. They had some bank grass, some water willow. They had, you know, a lot of them were fishing the original bank. What was the bank a couple days ago. But, you know, you've got a swim jig tied on. You've got a wake bait tied on. You've got a wacky rig tied on. You've got a shaky tied on. You've got a flipping bait tied up. Mm-hmm. A frog, okay? A crankbait. And that's probably what was on the decks of a lot of these boats. So what was interesting today, I was focused on the third period and Dustin Cannell, and he had no fish, okay? He was out of the cut, okay? And when they started the third period, they had a camera with him, and he went to work, and he was fishing a very specific flooded bush / bigger tree pattern. But this one little creek that he was up in, I assume it was a creek, it could have just been a big arm, big pocket, had some water willow just sticking out of the water. Well, you know, he's from Alabama. And if you're on a lake like Logan Martin, which is where the Bassmaster Open is, there's acres and acres of water willow. right? We're Susquehanna River guys. We got miles and miles of beds of water willow, okay? And the banks are lined with it in certain areas. And that those grasses hold those fish extremely shallow. So to your point about having the variety pack, mm-hmm. he was fishing a spinning rod with, a shaky head. Because he said he was fishing a New Crush City worm. I'm assuming it was on a shaky head. But anyways, he swung the nose of his boat into that pocket, dropped that rod, picked up a swim jig, and got into that Alabama shake and made like five casts with that swim jig because that situation presented itself.
Yeah.
Just like the example I just made with the tide falling out and creating those lanes. Those lanes are fleeting. But when they're running that current, you can see that current accelerating there. You have a big fish opportunity that's paid out for me many times. And I would pick up that wake bait and make those few casts. I might go back to something else right after that, maybe a frog or something that fishes better on top of that grass, whatever. I'm just making an example that goes along with your point. And, you know, you see that a lot in these tour events, especially when you get an event like this where they've got a 4-foot rise in water and now it's falling slowly. You know, you're going to see mm-hmm. very situational use of baits, right?
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed.
And the wake bait fits right in on that, okay? Now, you know, earlier we talked about times where the wake bait shines. And obviously we're in the peak time right now. But guess what? We mentioned that's early September, the month of September. September is like, we called it the Bermuda Triangle of the bass year. You know, have a wake bait in a shad pattern tied up. And keep in mind that depending on where you fish, it might be gizzard shad. Or you might be on a body of water that has bigger bait that are starting their fall migration. You might be on a body of water that has big gizzard shad. You might be on a body of water that has herring or baby American shad that have matured to an age where they're traveling to the sea or whatever that requires a bigger bait. And when you start to get that shallow, super shallow water, like I call it like fake schooling activity where you get little wolf packs, there's not much you can fish in that shallow water. Let me tell you what excels on those fish. Obviously a topwater. I get that. A popar, a spook, a fluke. Yes, yes, yes. But let me tell you, the success I've had with a bigger wake bait like this 2.5 has been incredible. Okay? And that's, you know, what we're delving into here is some very unique situations for the wake bait. I mean, the wake bait is... The wake bait is like a tool in your toolbox, and it fits a very specific situation.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt. No doubt about it.
How you like that one, Nick?
Well, I like it a lot because what you just said with the tournaments, using different baits, and then it's a tool in the toolbox, that's really what Tackle Shop Live's all about, giving you the tools and saying these are the opportunities that are best suited for these tools.
Yeah, through experiences.
Yep.
You know, it's all through experiences that we've had on the water, you know, that we like to share that and help that somebody who doesn't, never threw them, or just like, I really don't know, you know, this, that. We're giving you opportunities here when to throw it and to try it and to have it ready. And you'll have those experiences like we've had where we throw it a lot now. You know, we've been throwing it a lot, you know, because we had that experience and we got a lot of confidence in that bait. The word confidence again. You'll got to gain confidence in it, by throwing it. And it's hopefully this will give you some confidence in throwing it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right.
So tomorrow you got day two of the Bass Open on Logan Martin.
Yeah. How's that going?
I just want to touch on something to emphasize the significance of paying attention here if you're a fan. Second and third place and 10th place. Second and third is Emil Wagner and Tucker Smith.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
These young guys.
Wow.
10th, Will Davis Jr. So this guy, wow. Will Davis Jr., is like
he's fishing
Elite
everything.
Series.
Opens.
He's going to be going back to the Bass Nation Championship next year as like the third time champion. And he's fishing the opens and he's crushing it. So we have a very interesting situation there. This Josh Butler guy, I don't know him, is in first place with 19.7. He had a 7.3.
Wow.
But this, a lot of what we talked about kind of plays in this a little bit because they're fishing Logan Martin, which is like bank grass capital of the world. There is some boat docks being fished also.
What state's that in?
Alabama, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Alabama.
Alabama.
We also have the Bass Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is the second qualifying day for Group A, which will determine the final group of anglers going to the knockout round. Very exciting tournament. Bit of a grinder. These guys are... This tournament right here is the best representation of the skill set of these guys that I've seen in a long time. You know, with all this negative talk about electronics, mm-hmm. most of them are turning them off. And they're still shining. So I'm really excited to watch Wheeler.
Still good, still on it.
I mean, my man was like just
where
clutch.
They, where
he needed
fishing?
A clutch fish. He caught a 5.12. Cannell, I don't know if he made the cut. I missed the end of it, but if he didn't, it wasn't by much.
Where are they fishing?
They're on Lake Eufaula, Oklahoma.
Oh, that's right.
Which
that's
is
right.
a gigantic lake. So we're seeing, yeah. we're seeing like. Flipping, frogging. Marty Robinson was catching them on a frog today. Shaky heads, wacky rigs, some betting fish. Just two awesome tournaments. Tons of knowledge for us as yeah. fans.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So that's going on.
That's exciting.
And then next week is practice for next Elite.
Lake Murray,
Lake
right?
Murray and the next Elite. So...
You know what, George, you're talking about those tournaments that are going on right now. It really doesn't get any better than a variety of ways people are catching them.
I love it.
That's what fishing's all about.
Yeah. You know, and our take on these tournaments, which is not unique, but it's something that we've always made as a, you know, like a segment, if you will. Our take is like, what are we learning, right? And when I saw Cannell pick that swim jig up for three casts. I mean, man's trolling motor was on high. He was doing like a evacuation hard left turn and putting three key casts in there. Why? Because there might have been a 4-pounder that rolled up on that swim jig, right? And we got to see, like, he fishes a swim jig like KVD fishes a jerkbait, okay? It's just like crazy, you know? And I'm a swim jig freak, and I don't fish like that. So I'm like, okay, notes taken, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But anyways, let's all enjoy the tournaments this weekend. Let's learn.
Yeah.
Let's put some faith in our wake baits and...
Try them. Get them out. Bust them out. Dust them
remember
off.
Remember...
Wake bait it up.
The 49-pound carp record on the Chesapeake Bay... if you break that record during SummerSlam, you will get $100 cash from me. 49-pound, 1 ounce. So, you know, you've got your perspective mode working.
I don't know how you're going to do that because I don't even think we have a scale that goes that high.
Oh, we'll get it weighed. I'll drag that son of a bitch into the freaking grocery store and weigh it. Also, our former colleague, the great Mike Poole. His boat is on Facebook. Search
Renee Poole.
Renee Poole. They're getting a lot of buzz on it. It's a Primo Primetime G3. Please feel free to call here And as for me or Mike, we have both spent a lot of time on that boat and know the history from day one. Mm-hmm. And we would like to see that boat sold for Mike's wife to, you know, be rid of it and convert it into cash. So, if you're interested, it's a sweetheart, and it's not going to last much longer if it's not already gone. Mm-hmm. But Mikey Poole was our boy, and we will do everything we can in our power to help with that and keep his memory alive.
Plus, so, it's a freaking awesome boat.
Oh, my God.
Freaking awesome boat.
It's bad to the bone.
Yeah, and don't forget, you got less than 2 weeks now to sign up for SummerSlam. If you're on the fence, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to miss a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you get on there. If you have any questions about the tournament, call us.
There's a 49-pound, 1-ounce carp out there with somebody's name on it.
Yeah, you guys can come down and go carp fishing.
Until next time, boys.
Hey, we'll catch you on the next Tackle Shop Live.
Sunny day, right there you took my breath away. Young and pretty, was it just a dream? The next day you called me up, you told me I'm your little buttercup. You came over and you fell into my arms. Well, I know what I feel, please tell me your love is real. You make me smile when I think of you. If I from just the thought of you. A long blonde hair and your beautiful smile, your sense of